From coast to coast across America, it's the U.S. Property Podcast with the latest real estate news, interviews, and market trends.
And welcome back to the U.S. Property Podcast as we focus on the very latest of real estate property news from around the country. Yes, we've got the trends, we've got the forecast and the predictions, and available to you on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon, and about 50 others. So if you are listening to us, welcome aboard. And good morning to you, Nikki, in Chicago. We got your email. You say that you are hoping to enter the real estate market soon, and thank you for the compliment. Great to have you as a listener. And just a reminder to let anybody else know who might be like you that is hoping to get into the property market or is already in the property market, let them know who we are. And of course, if you've got a question or a suggestion, or if you just want to say hello like Nikki there in Chicago, we love getting your emails, and our email address is uspropertypodcast@gmail.com. That is uspropertypodcast@gmail.com. Now, looking at some of the forecasts and the trends, in January, we saw a 5.8% year-over-year increase in home prices nationwide, and that is despite a slight minus 0.1% decline in December of 2023. Looking ahead, the CoreLogic forecast is predicting stagnant prices from now, with a projected 2.6% year-over-year increase by Jan of 2025 next year. And while annual home price growth hit a year high, it is expected to taper off due to rising mortgage rates and inventory shortages. And don't we know it? That is such a big talking point for 2024, posing affordability challenges, which is another big problem in the real estate market. Millennials are dominating, which is interesting, home purchase applications, yet cash-heavy baby boomers exacerbate market difficulties. Probably not a great surprise with those baby boomers. And CoreLogic predicts varying impacts of higher rates across metro areas, with regions facing affordability ceilings experiencing downward price movements. And this morning we are catching up with Oscar Way, the Deputy Chief Economist from the California Association of Realtors. And good morning to you, Oscar. Welcome to the US Property Podcast Breakfast this morning.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for having me on the show.
Great to have you here. So tell us a little bit firstly about you and how long you have been with the California Association of Realtors.
Yeah, I've been with the association for actually more than 20 years now. This year is my 20 years, and it's a trade organization with over 200,000 members of realtors. Been with the research and department for starting as a senior analyst, and then slowly, gradually climbing to the deputy chief economist positions. And I've seen some of the ups and downs in the past 20 years, and it's a very interesting market right now.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, that is a long time to be in a single place, and the amount of highs and lows, the troughs and the peaks. Yes, you would have seen so much. So in terms of the membership, this is for realtors only, but you have a lot of information for the public that they can access absolutely free. Tell us more about some of the data that people can get from your website.
Yeah, we do have a lot of information. Of course, we publish information or statistics on a monthly basis. And what we do have is, because it's California Association of Realtors, we primarily focus on the state number, which is California. But we also have county data, as well as some local statistics, such as, you know, statistics or price on, let's say, Beverly Hills, prices on Santa Monica and things like that. And it's publicly accessible. There are some information, of course, that you might have checked, log into the website. But we also have a lot of information regarding affordability, housing affordability for California, how interest rates have been playing a role in buying homes and things like that. And we also do on a regular basis survey statistics, consumer surveys. So we try to get a sense of, you know, how buyers and sellers are actually doing, how things are actually going on with, you know, the market itself, how people are reacting to the market.
I've had a little bit of a look at the website. So if you're listening to us this morning, and even if you're outside of California and you're looking to move in, this is a great website for grabbing some information. And, you know, Oscar, if you go back as recent as 10 years ago, the data that was available 10 years ago then to the amount of data that is now available, it's probably chalk and cheese. Data has been a huge increase for people sitting at home wanting to access real estate property information, but not just real estate property information, because there's so much of that out there, but it's almost in real time. And you would have seen how much the data has changed across this time frame.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, back then we did not have things like Zillow, Redfin, some of the websites that offered information to consumers. It was not always just on hard copy, but you know, you have to get it from multiple listing services directly. But a lot of, but recently we have been getting a lot of information publicly accessible to consumers. Now, for, on our end, we have also changed, you know, in the past 10 years or so. I still remember the days I actually have to collect data directly from our local association and then hand type in those information. But nowadays, in the last, you know, 10 years or so, we have been downloading those data directly and be able to actually get the information very seamlessly within, you know, a couple of days, within an hour or so. And so we do have, you know, weekly data or monthly, daily data that we can take a look at. But of course, a lot of time we don't usually publish things on daily or weekly basis. So that's why you're seeing more of the monthly data. But it is very, very informative with, you know, technology that we have now. I think a lot of people, myself included, have been looking at some of the statistics online, and not just one on my website, on our website, but other websites as well, just for comparison purposes.
Yeah, as you say, I mean, the amount of information just wasn't around. You talk of Zillow. Well, look at us, podcasting. I mean, there was no podcasting, you know, 10 years ago on property. So we've decided to go into the real estate space. Now, I've had people say to me, surely you run out of things to talk about when it comes to real estate. And I said, you've got to be joking. There are so many talking points when it comes to real estate. It's unbelievable. You will never run out.
That's very true. We have things that happens every day, whether it be, you know, interest rates fluctuation, whether it be what's going on with the economy, Federal Reserve, the central banks movement, all those things. Every day we have some new news that we can talk about and write about.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look at the way that real estate is presented from, let's say, 10 years ago, it is much more user-friendly. There was a time when people could look at the data and not necessarily know what it was that they were looking at, let alone trying to understand it. So how important is that for creating data, particularly for the public? I mean, the members of the association, they know how to crunch the numbers, but the public not necessarily do. So for creating data that is understandable, it's got to be relatable and user-friendly.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I think maybe 10, 20 years ago, when you search for statistics on websites, you always see just tables and maybe sometimes some slides, you know, and those are some, to the public, it may not be easily digestible. Nowadays, I think on our websites, for example, you see a lot of motion graphics. You see a lot of storytelling information appearing in visuals format that actually try to make things a little easier for consumers to digest. They may not necessarily know anything about, you know, some specific terms realtors know, but by making those visualization, by making those graphics, I think we're making it easier for the public to consume. And that's very, very important.
You know, the other thing too, as we're talking about this, and from an economist's point of view, you must be a little bit amused with some people that just use their gut and they don't use the data. They say, oh no, I know the market really well. I don't need to use the data. I use my gut instincts. It's never let me down. You know, if you're listening to this and you're thinking about buying property and you're one of these people, whilst gut instinct is great to have and it may well have served you tremendously well over 10, 20 years, the fact that the data is there, it just backs up all your instincts about a property, and it's free. A lot of it is available, a lot of it is free. And I just wonder whether there's a lazy component here that people just think, no, I don't need to check the data, I know best.
I think it's true. You know, a lot of people, especially during those good times when, you know, prices continue to rise, for example, or when prices have gone up to a very high level, people tend to make suggestions. They tend to think that their gut can tell them what's going on with the market. Obviously, I would have to say some may have been, you're right, some people, majority of the people are actually could be off. It's just that sometimes, you know, if you just follow that trend line, you think you know what's going on, but you know, there are a lot of hidden parts to the economy, to the housing market, that really requires a lot of attention on our part, and of course on many of the housing analysts' part. So I think, you know, it's definitely worthwhile taking a look at hearing the listening to podcasts, looking up, you know, some statistics, and maybe consulting with, you know, people who are experts in the field.
And just in terms of podcasts for a moment, I mean, how many different podcasts, Oscar, have you been talking across? Because you would have seen this exploded. I think it's fair to say most of the podcasts across the US are run by real estate companies and real estate agents. And as our audience know, we are not a real estate company. We set this information up purely from an informational point of view. I'm an ex-radio person, so I've always done reasonably well out of real estate. So probably lots of these real estate people who are running these podcasts that you are talking to.
I've talked to quite a few podcasts. I think at the very beginning, maybe, you know, 5-6 years ago, there were not a whole lot. Then they started getting a lot more. I believe you're right too, that many of those are being run by individual firms. There are more run by trade organizations or something, even individual investors themselves. And there are, of course, people who also have been talking about, just for the sake of, you know, trying to get into conversation of real estate. A lot of people actually put together some real estate podcasts as well. They may not necessarily be working for a real estate company or a brokerage firm, but some people who are just interested in the field. So I've participated in quite a few in the last couple of years, probably more so than a few years ago.
And we always say that we're not trying to sell you anything. It's just all about the information. Well, Oscar, great to chat to you this morning there in the California Association of Realtors. I'll let you get on with your morning. And yes, thanks for coming on to the US Property Podcast this morning.
Great. Thank you for having me again.
We talk to some of the most influential people in the real estate industry, from leading commentators to investors to real estate principals, on the U.S. Property Podcast.
The amount of investors out of the U.S., right across the U.S., that are investing into the UAE. This is something that you have observed over a period of time, isn't it, there in Dubai?
That's right. American buyers were not really in any great numbers here purchasing in Dubai. We've started to see some significant numbers. This is very encouraging because they're starting to understand the beauty that the United Arab Emirates offer, and Dubai specifically, given its safety, given its infrastructure, given its ease of doing business. The world already knows what Dubai has to offer, and I think it's time now for the American population to actually understand. And hopefully with the podcast, I'll be able to explain exactly what Dubai has to offer.
Stay updated in your local real estate market with the latest trends, predictions, and insights. Know your property with the U.S. Property Podcast.